You're an entrepreneur. You're a leader. You're a high-performance individual. But many of you are so busy, you're thinking about today only. But what about tomorrow? This is the Alchemist Lounge. We focus in like a laser beam on exploring the art of transformational leadership, company culture, and the alchemical elements of creating and managing healthy and thriving organizations. This is a forum for leaders to hear cutting-edge perspectives, learn how to evolve yourself, and build thriving and sustainable leadership habits and businesses that stand the test of time. Get ready to learn from one of the best, The Alchemist Lounge, with your host, Alex Atwood.
And here we go. Everyone, welcome to another episode of The Alchemist Lounge. As always, I'm your host, Alex Atwood, and today we have an entrepreneur, dare I say an influencer, in the world of business, sports marketing, coaching. He has multiple media outlets, podcast outlets. He's got something called The Playbook. He is everywhere and anywhere you want to be, Mr. David Meltzer. I am so excited to have you here. And I'd like to start this off today. I listened to your TED Talk, Find Your Frequency. And if you could indulge me, I want to take like 30 seconds and I want to pull out something specific that you mentioned in your TED Talk.
And she looked at me and said, "You're so full of light, but you're blocking it." I then proceeded to roll my eyes into the back of my head going, "This will be the longest flight to India." She looked at me and said, "Do you meditate?" Now I knew it would be a long flight, and I arrogantly told her that I had no time to meditate, that I was in control of my own life, that I had grown up with a single mom and six kids, and I had made every single thing myself and made it happen all by myself. And I thought that people that meditated were high on their mom's couch, unemployed and sick.
So let's, I'd love to, for you to kind of roll back the clock there, right? Let's rewind the clock. Take me back to who you were when you had that conversation on that plane. Like, where was your head? Where was your head at that time?
Yeah, it was, you know, I call myself an influencer, not an influencer. At that time, I was an influencer. I was spreading the flu and I was spreading dis-ease. I was buying things I didn't need to be happy. I was buying more things to be happy. I was buying different things to be happy. I was buying things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like, thinking that was going to make me happy. And I thought I was in complete control of my life. And what I realized through that transformation, by elevating my awareness, my frequency, my vibration, through meditation, by the way, which from that flight on, where I went to a workshop and learned quantum healing and I learned theta meditation, in 17 years, rarely missing a day of meditation, have learned to elevate my awareness to the simple fact that I am. I'm connected and empowered into a world of not enough, but a world of more than enough, where I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. I just got to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And the meditation allows me to raise the awareness to not only where my baseline is for the day, but also where my trajectory is from that baseline all day long. And when I interfere and create the flu, I then stop, drop, and roll and create the flow. And I am taking advantage of the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves me more than my mom and protects and promotes me at all times. So this is the crux of the paradigm shift of my perspective of the old person who lived in scarcity in a world where there was a trade or negotiation to everything in my life. There's a zero-sum game, winners and losers. There was a finite set of rules and a finite set in the game. And I now live in a world of value add. I appreciate everything. I acknowledge everything. And I ask for more. I built a community of people like you, Alex, that are here to help people and know people who can help people. It's that simple.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to my producer about that. She said, how wonderful is it now that leaders in general are starting to adopt like really adopting, not in just sort of a slogan type way, but really adopting being vulnerable. And I could just think, you know, 15 years ago, that was almost unheard of. 20 years ago, forget about it. There's weakness. Your shareholders are not going to be into it. Your board is not going to be into that sort of thing. And suddenly it's become something that is just not just a buzzword, but it's an ethos that's really spreading across leadership in general. So a question I have is this, like, do you feel like specifically you and others, right, who are on that fast track to, you know, whatever we call outwardly success, do you feel like that's almost necessary to be able to climb that sort of first mountain of, you know, whatever it is that your story was at that time, right? So you did it all on yourself, you know, all of these, you know, single mother, this whole story. Do you feel like you had to climb that mountain, tell yourself that story in order to come to where you are today with the humility and the understanding to be able to listen to that?
Well, I think there's five things that I have, looking back and at the defined moments, failures, successes, void shortages, obstacles, challenges of my past to equate to other people's past in order to effectuate that fulfillment, passion, purpose, and even profitability if that's something in that trajectory. The number one thing is the thing you're referring to. Is it credibility? And I don't think it necessarily has to be credibility of financial success. There's a lot of credibility that can be learned and achieved, like Gandhi, never had financial success. Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, you know, they have extreme credibility. And then there's an emotional attachment, which is what that TED Talk is about, the frequency of being able to not only support what you're talking about with credibility and logic, but make an emotional connection, because people buy or share on emotion for logical reasons. And so you need an alignment, a reconciliation between the emotional connection and the credibility. And then the last three can be ascertained by anyone. And I think a lot of people fall down here, and you were talking about the vulnerability that exists today. And I was one of those people 17 years ago, 2 years before I went bankrupt, lost over $100 million. If somebody would have told me 17 years ago, 2006, that you would not only go bankrupt and lose everything, but you would brag about it, I would rather kill myself. I won't even tell my mom 17 years ago that where my ego was at. I wouldn't want anyone in the world. I might even get divorced so my wife didn't know. I don't know what I would have done, or just hung myself in my closet. That's how bad it was. You talked about 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. And so the three things that we can do is, one, we have to practice articulating the quantitative values of the reasons that we're here, right? And then two, we need to quantifiably articulate. And notice that word articulate. You just can't do it. You got to be able to actually explain it to people, the impact that you're having personally and professionally. And then the third one is, a lot of people don't know how, and I was one of them in that world of just enough and not enough, where I was a victim or a bragger or an ego narcissist. You have to be able to take your capabilities and use it to infuse credibility, emotional attachment, reasons, and impact. Not oversell, back-end sell, lie, manipulate, and cheat with your capabilities. And that's what most people, including me, found more than just minutes and moments, because I still do it minutes and moments. I'm just really good at catching myself. But for days, weeks, months, and years, I was an overseller, a back-end seller, a liar, manipulator, and cheater. And it would diminish my credibility without my knowledge. I thought I was fooling everyone, and I was fooling no one. It would diminish my emotional connection. It would create interference. And it lessened the quantitative value of the reasons to have me in your life, or the impact that I would have. And so those are the five things, I think, regardless of wealth or success of wealth, that can establish this journey that I've been on and have other people be able to. And this is how I define it. Are you capable of enjoying every day the consistent, without quit, persistent pursuit of your potential, not what other people want for you, not what's missing, not what you don't have, not standing in front of cars you don't own, houses you don't own, planes you don't own, yachts you don't own, right? Can you do that? Enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential.
Ah, that's beautiful. There's so much depth and richness to that too. I mean, how difficult is it to keep up that outwardly validation, to keep up all of that success, you know, or whatever you'd call it, outwardly materialism, whatever it is, right? And when you can speak from your truth, there's so much power there because you don't have to keep that up anymore, right?
Yeah. It was so funny. I went to a birthday party this weekend and my friend has a 107-foot yacht. And he got it for a bargain. It's like a beautiful pig, right? He fixed it all up. And meanwhile, I'm in there and he introduces me. He goes, "This is David Meltzer. He has more money than God."
That's how he introduced you.
And I was like, that is not the way I want someone to introduce me. And then someone else on the boat said, no, he doesn't. He's the gratitude guy.
Was that immediately after?
Immediately after, nice. And I said, thank you. I said, you must follow me. And they said, I'm a big fan. And I said, there you go. This guy's a friend and a neighbor, right? So he's keeping up with the Joneses. He's in a competition with me. And you are learning from me about the radical humility that we all can live in. And I want to be known as the gratitude guy, not the richest guy on the block.
Yeah. Well, it's really powerful when you say that validation or credibility isn't necessarily assigned to a bank account or to some sort of platform that is inauthentic, right? And so when people think about that, what you do for a living is that as important as sort of who you are and how you go through life?
Yeah, it's such a good question. You know, what's so funny about it is I have shifted my perspective and I'm always looking at what perspective am I participating in and where are my invisible assumptions in that participation? And one of the key components or aspects that helps me is I look at things as activities.
Yeah.
Right? So I have activities I have planned every day, activities I don't have planned, activity called sleep. I have activities I get paid for, and I have activities I don't get paid for. And so within the context of those five categories of activities, I'm just very active. That's why I hate the word busy, by the way, because busy people are active being non-accessible. I'm active being productive, accessible, and gracious. Those are the cornerstones of my activity. And so I think it's interesting when I shifted the participation of my activities this way, it was much easier for me not to put judgment or allow others to put judgment on my activities, because I realize one thing about judgment, my own and other people's. All judgments are an opinion based off of two things I want nothing to do with. Ignorance and doubt or fear.
Fear.
Why am I participating in activity that's based off of ignorance and doubt or ignorance and fear? Why can't I participate in activities that are based off of providing value, being productive, being accessible to others, so I'm helping others and accessing what they have. So now there's that community of people who want to help each other, know people can help each other. And of course, a lens of gratitude that says, hey, I'm doing my best learning lessons and having fun. I'm doing my best to find the light, the love, and the lessons of the defining moments of my past and align them with a trajectory to a future that I think I want or better with the faith or gratitude of the future that I'm always going to be protected and promoted and receive more and better.
Wow. That is like true alchemy. It's well said.
Thank
well
you.
Said. And as I'm looking at you, I'm seeing the words great dad to the left of your head. And I'm thinking, as we're talking about productivity and activities, I had a conversation, really interesting conversation with Chris Rudin the other day about him doing about 3 hours worth of work a day and then devoting the rest to sort of being in flow. And so I'm time management is something that I don't even know if that's a good, you know, good set of words for it. But when you think about a 4-hour work week and you think about work-life integration, right? And I hear all the time from high achievers, you have an extraordinary level of productivity. Right? You're able to clearly, being a great dad, be able to take your time and have a cross section of using it in ways that you feel bring you joy. Tell me about how that's shifted as well. When from your sort of outwardly mindset, how has time management, and are you doing 1 hour work weeks, or tell me a little bit about that?
It's everything to me. Yeah. I study time every day.
Yeah.
And I understand the infinite nature of time in the past and the future, and the pragmatic man-made construct of time. Mm. And why I say that is that time is an energy, money is an energy, behavior is an energy, yep. space is an energy.
Yeah.
And what I've learned about from studying physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics is that energy has three properties. One, and they're all extremely beneficial in the realm of man-made constructive time. Energy aggregates on itself, it attracts like energy, so that creates efficiencies. It also creates exponentiality of outcomes, which creates effectiveness. And then it also creates an acceleration of the outcome, which creates statistical success. That is aware, that is allows human beings to be capable of awareness of what's going on, which is always the biggest detriment to behavior, is we're not aware of the progress that we've made. In other words, good behavior instantly creates good progress. Bad behavior instantly creates bad progress. We expect instant results from good behavior, but we can't be aware of it. We don't expect instant results from bad behavior, and we're not aware of it, which creates a terrible problem for human beings with smoking and eating poorly, not exercising or meditating, etc. And so when I understood the physics of energy, I then made it applicable to time, and I said 2 minutes a day of activity every day would be worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. And so now I could have a weighted balance that could effectuate more statistical success, efficiency, and effectiveness in my life in the realm of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. So I spend a minimum of an hour a day on my health every day, a minimum of 30 minutes with my wife every day, a minimum of 30 minutes with my 13-year-old son every day, a minimum of 2 minutes with each of my daughters every day. I asked for five. They gave me a minimum of two. And I spend a minimum of 1 minute with my mom to tell her that I'm happy, healthy, and love and appreciate her, which is all she really wants to know from me every day. But it's worth an hour on a Saturday. And then more importantly, too, I spend a minimum of 10 minutes a day keeping in touch with people that are relative to me, but not as relative as the aforementioned people. A minimum, and I have a list, and I just check them off. Okay, I went through these 20 people today. I go down the list, and I'll start over when I get through 1,100 of these people or so that are relative from high school, college, law school, business school, past jobs, soccer teams, you know, whatever I know them from. But I'm just reaching out saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. Is there anything I can do to be of service?
Love it.
Okay, and so beyond that, I actually spend a minimum of 10 minutes a day under the context of physics studying time.
Yeah.
Think about how deep that is. Most people, you love what you do, or you spend enough time doing it, or you live long enough in it, it will tell you all its secrets. That is one of the secrets to study time for 10 minutes minimum a day. That's worth 10 hours on a Saturday. Imagine the aggregate effect of studying time and understanding how the man-made constructive time reconciles with the infinite nature of time, which is the biggest interference or conflict or counterintuitive strategy or philosophy that people have. They don't understand surrender because they think that means all you do is sit at home high, broke, sick on your mom's couch, dreaming about what you want. That is not surrender.
Yeah.
Surrender is, I'm going to bust my ass every single day in a trajectory of what I think I want or better, and allow the outcome to come because I have faith that I'm doing what it takes behavior-wise, money-wise, space-wise, time-wise, in order to effectuate an aggregate outcome, an exponential outcome, and an accelerated outcome.
Mm. And I'm going to have fun while I'm doing it, and it's going to be joyful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And busting your ass could be just as fun as anything else.
And busting your ass is the same. Look, I have time to rest, right? That's an activity. I am probably the most strategic sleeper you'll ever meet. I've had a sleep coach for 17 years. I have an unwinding routine. I have a specific way of, you know, light, sound, temperature, sheets, pillows, bed, you know, all the different things. I am the most strategic sleeper you'll ever meet. Now, most people don't think of sleep as an activity that you're productive, accessible, and gracious with. But I plateau every morning. The biggest thing that is surprising to me is that people will pay for mentors and coaches for, you know, for golf, yeah. right? How much of your life do you spend golfing? Hopefully not a third of your life, 8 hours a day is spent golfing. Well, you and everyone else in the world on average spends a third of their life, 26 years on average, sleeping. But you don't have a coach, you don't have a mentor, a teacher, you don't pay attention and give intention to sleep. So in other words, you live your life like a gosh darn tube, food in, food out. Mm. Living the myth of Sisyphus, pulling a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll down to the bottom the next morning. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many people I meet and I'm like, hey man, how are you? Oh, I'm so tired. Okay, so you just slept for 8 to 10 hours and you're tired. So if I took you to dinner and we ate dinner for 8 to 10 hours, when you walked out, if you said I'm starving, would you think there's something wrong?
Yes. Wow, this is called Influencer. There is so much flow coming out of you right now, David. Incredible, my friend, incredible. I have one last question for you, really, and then we can get going. So in today's like fast-paced, distracted, everywhere, there's constantly something, shifting focus. What's your go-to to keep your eyes on the intention that you put into everything? Because you have so much intention, David, whether it's talking to your family, whether it's sleep, whether it's time management. What is it that keeps you focused on what's ahead of you right now?
Three things that I have control of. My mindset is always aligned with my values of gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. My heart set, the emotion of identifying ego, of identifying the fear of the past and fear of the future, and then seeing what ego-based consciousness I'm prescribing to that fear, a need to be offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, whatever it may be that's interfering with that flow. And then the handset to have 5 daily practices of knowing what I want today, giving the meaning to my past, the defining moments, setbacks, failures, mistakes, successes, in alignment with the trajectory of what I think I want in the future, so I can determine who I can help and who can help me and how best to get it done with activities I planned, unplanned, sleep, paid for, unpaid for, utilizing the lenses of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, so that I know every day what's important to me in the trajectory of what I think I want, so I can prioritize the man-made constructive time to be productive, accessible, and gracious, and so that I utilize it as the antidote to what stops people from getting what they want or better, procrastination or feeling overwhelmed, and then I apply my why. Mm. And if you take control of your mindset with your values, your heart set by identifying fear and prescribing the ego-based consciousness to get to center, and then finally having daily practices of knowing the what, the who, and the how to determine how important it is to prioritize in a trajectory where you think you want to be in alignment with the lessons, the love, and the light of the past, the meaning of the past, you will live. I am happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy, and you'll figure out what the hell you're doing to interfere with it. I want to tell you, Alex, I love what you're doing. We'll do more. I keep it to 20 minutes, so everyone's hopefully hungry to listen to more and learn more. I want everyone in your community, I'm going to offer my book. I will sign it. I will send it, the book. I'll pay for the book and shipping. I don't want anything other than you to be empowered by the lessons that I've learned, the dummy tax that I've paid. If you want anything from me, I do free Friday trainings. I do lives every day. David@dmeltzer.com. Please reach out to me. I'm of service and value. Please share my email with everyone in your community. David@dmeltzer.com. Thank you, AA Alex Atwood. I appreciate the time.
There you have it, folks. Heart set, mindset, handset. Incredible guest, David Meltzer. You just opened up the treasure chest of wisdom for us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, dmeltzer.com. David, thank you so much for everything that you brought. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your wisdom. And I look forward to digging in more. 20 minutes isn't enough, my friend, but thank you for the 20 minutes.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Alchemist Lounge. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find Alex on LinkedIn and Twitter at Alex Atwood. And on Instagram at Alex_Atwood_coaching. See you next time on the Alchemist Lounge.